This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got a caller on the line, but real quick, before we bring Alex on, the Adam Carriker Show is sponsored by our good friends at Sweezo Construction, where safety isn't just a policy, it's a promise. Sweezo is hiring skilled craftsmen, laborers, concrete workers, and steel erectors who value quality work in a team that has your back both on and off the job site. Apply today at Sweezo.com. 40 years strong in business, Sweezo Construction. Again, that's SCHWISOW.com. Also, shout out to Hamilton Telecommunications, bringing you the latest in quality technology and communication services since 1901. Ladies and gentlemen, that's almost 125 years. Learn more about their residential and business services at HamiltonTel.com. That's HamiltonTel.com. All right, we got the notes from Dana Holgorsen's press conference. I do think one thing to point out before we bring Alex on, when it comes to in-state guys, Matt Rhule mentioned, I forget when he mentioned it, it might have been last winter, but at some point he said, because he was kind of asked about the shift in recruiting and emphasis and how geographic location doesn't seem to necessarily matter anymore. He said, we've gone after Nebraska guys, we brought them in, and they've been just as likely to leave as anybody else. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but I remember that because it stuck out to me. All right, let's go ahead. Let's bring Alex on. Hello, Alex. How you doing, my friend?
Good. How are you, Adam?
Dude, life is glorious. What are your thoughts?
Hey, I got a question. Do you think, I know you were a walk-on back in the day. I was a transfer student and trying to find my position back in the day. Granted, I played baseball other than football, but do you think that NIL has kind of killed the desire for having a little red ass in kids nowadays to like find their position and find like what they can do and what they want to do just based on the money aspect? I feel like back in the day, especially when I was transferring, I wanted to come in and I wanted to punch someone in the face and prove a lesson, you know, like prove my worth. And I'm sure you wanted to do the same all throughout your career. Just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Hey, that's a great question. I appreciate you calling in. Thanks, Alex. I almost walked on. Nebraska first told me I wasn't good enough to play here, and I almost ended up walking on. They got me a last-minute scholarship. But for your question, it's a great question. It's interesting because I've said I didn't walk in with a chip on my shoulder. I walked in with a whole freaking forest. People said I was too slow, unathletic, going to have to go play. All love and respect to offensive linemen. I didn't say this, but I'd have to go play offensive line. I wasn't good enough, all that stuff. So, yeah, I walked in with a freaking forest on my particular shoulder. And I'll never forget the wrestling coach in my high school, Mr. Anderson. He goes, you know what you do when you get there, Carriker? What should I do, Mr. Anderson? You go find the biggest, baddest dude, and you start a fight with him the first day. That was his advice to me. Like, I actually got that going into the NFL as well. I won't share who told me that at Nebraska. So I got that advice twice. So when he talks about guys walking in the door wanting to prove their mettle, walking in with a chip or a full forest on their shoulder or wanting to hit somebody in the mouth, you know, hopefully more often than not, in a football sense, way more often than not, that's absolutely true. I do think it's changed a little bit. I mean, even Nick Saban, he said part of the reason he got out of coaching, he would meet with his players after the season was over, and in his words, he's like, oh, they wanted to talk about how much they were getting paid. Now, is that a little bit of a probably overgeneralization, a little bit too big of a blanket to cast on all these college football athletes? Absolutely. It's a little bit, I would say, unfair. What I will say is it's unequivocally more common than it used to be. It's absolutely more at the forefront than it used to be. I don't even think that's debatable. Did you see the picture? I forget who put it on X. It was a Boston college football player. The stadium's empty. A guy took the picture. He goes, one of the saddest photos I've ever seen. And it's a Boston college football player that almost upset Georgia Tech. They were not able to do it this past weekend. And he's just sitting full pads in front of the goalpost on the ground on his rear, just sitting there in an empty stadium. Did you see that at all, Jake?
I didn't see that, huh?
So this game still means a lot to certain players out there. I don't think it's the same as it once was. I do think NIL, I do think the transfer portal is a part of it. I mean, it's gonna create that. You know, whether intended or not, like if you said, hey, you can come and go a lot easier, you can make a lot more money at various different stops. I mean, that's a culture that's going to be created, whether intended or not. I don't think it's the same as an overarching whole as it used to be. I don't even think it's close. I don't want to say it's 100% or even close to that, because there are guys out there that when their last game inside their home stadium on senior day, like the Boston College player, is over, they don't want to leave the field. I remember my last Nebraska game, it was Colorado. We clinched the Big 12 North. We had already clinched it versus Texas A&M, but then we played Colorado on Black Friday. And I think I was the last player off the field. I was in off the field. I was in no hurry to leave. I don't know if I've ever shared this publicly. I've shared it privately. It was kind of cool. I'm walking off the field. I do remember being the last one. Maybe somebody else was out there. I can't say definitively. I just don't remember seeing anyone else. And so we were north end zone at that point, but we came out the opposite side. But I'm going back in. There were some fans left in the north stadium over there. They actually started chanting Carriker. I thought that was really, really pretty cool. It's kind of uplifting in a tough emotional moment for me. At least we had just curb stomped Colorado, so that felt pretty good too in that particular game. But yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on that question. Great question. Appreciate the call from Alex. You got anything real quick, Jake?
No, just kind of like you're saying. I think it's, you know, it's unfortunate because if you want to go and find kind of that in that love of the game aspect and all that, I don't even know if you can do it at high school anymore. I mean, there's high school guys in certain high schools anyway. So I think there's still going to be guys with chips on your shoulder. I mean, you mentioned Dayton Raiola earlier. He's still got a lot that he's going to hear from people coming into Nebraska about, you know, how he doesn't quite measure up. So there's still going to be avenues for it, but yeah, it's like you said, kind of maybe an unintended consequence of the current era.
I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of a low-key fan of Dayton. We haven't talked about him a lot yet. He's not on campus. I mean, he hasn't, you know, we'll get to that point, but I'm kind of a low-key fan of him because he's kind of a guy who's more, because of the Raiola name, he's out there, but he as an individual has flown more under the radar. If he was not guaranteed that job at Buford, if you know, going into the past season or two, he had to fight, scratch, and claw and earn that job, and he did. I've listened to a couple of interviews, and if you watch him play, it matches. Like, he's a fairly physical guy. Like, he likes contact a little bit more than your typical quarterback. So I'm kind of a low-key fan. I mean low-key just because we haven't talked about him a lot yet. But I'm kind of, like, rooting for Dayton, if that makes sense to you. Obviously, I'm rooting for him because he's coming here. But just in general, like, I like to find guys that are under the radar. I have no idea why I would relate to them. I like to find guys that feel like they're over-scrutinized. I like to find guys that, like, I never rooted for the guy on top. I never rooted for Hogan. I rooted for Warrior, trying to take him down. I never rooted for Austin. It was Rock. Now, it's not like I'm rooting for the worst of the worst here. Like, I always root for the people trying to take down the people on top because I relate to that. I relate to trying to overcome things and trying to be the best I can be. And so, like, a guy like Dayton, I'm like, man, he's flown a little bit more under the radar. Like, he's forever going to be leaked to Jet, which I don't even know if that's fair to him, but it is what it is. And I'm kind of rooting for this guy. I like the way he plays. I like the way he goes about things. It's hard not to root for a guy like that. So you got any final thoughts on that topic there, Jake?
No, I echo what you said.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Is there anything off the text line?
No, just someone asked if you can say Red Est on the air. I think you can.
Well, you just did. So well, yeah, I'm pretty sure that answered the question. I'll be honest. It was a great question. For a while, I'm like, what exactly does he mean? Like, by the end of the question, I knew exactly what he meant. But initially, I was like, all right, I need more. And then he gave me more, so I understood it completely. So, no, it was a great question. I love that we're getting callers. My wife yesterday, she's like, you're getting callers, like, all the time now. Like, the show's only an hour, and you're getting a caller, like, every show. Like, hey, I love it that people want to call in, text in. One of my favorite things to do, Jake's like, I can't believe you wore a jacket today. Now I'm hot. Now you see why I never wear them. And I'm taking it off as I talk here. One of my favorite things to do is actually go do public speaking, which as a kid who never spoke, didn't speak properly, and had to have speech therapy from K through fifth grade, would have been mortifying, not terrifying, mortifying. Now it's one of my favorite things to do because of the unpredictability. Before Alex came on, I'm like, hey, Jake, do you know what he's going to talk about? He's like, no. Well, thanks for vetting the caller, I guess. You know, maybe we'll get a death threat or maybe a Husker question. I don't know. Luckily, it was a Husker question. So I love the unpredictability nature of this. Nature of these things. I will say this. We don't know, and I brought this up right before we brought Alex on. We don't know the exact hit rate. And what I mean by that is Nebraska kids who've come to Nebraska, stayed and played and contributed since Rule took over. But I think it's pretty fair to say it's not great. I think that's fair to say, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Like not high. Jalen Lloyd, he's in the transfer portal again, right?
Yeah.
You know, he was on the sidelines at a high school game in Omaha recently, hanging out with some former, with some current Huskers. Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. All right, Dana Holgorsen says that the team has moved on from the last game as of 10 days ago, has a lot of confidence in TJ Lateef. The way TJ handled everything was awesome. All right. For just a few seconds, I'm going to speak slowly. It doesn't happen often, so it must mean something. Was probably our most efficient game on offense. Thoughts?
I would agree. I mean, that kind of looked, a lot of people said that. So now you hear from the offensive coordinator. Again, I mean, I think part of it is the game flow, kind of how it played out. Nebraska got the lead, didn't ask Lateef to do too much. So I think I don't want to run away with that statement, but at the same time, it speaks a little bit of volume, I think.
Not running away with it, just actually for once in my life spoke at a normal speed. So it sounded slow, just to let it sit out there. And honestly, I'm not trying to do anything with that. It just, like, as I'm going through these notes, that is the biggest thing that stood out to me. First of all, it's a great sign. Your most recent game was your most efficient game on offense. Like, who wouldn't want that? You're going to go into Happy Valley, and you're going to face, like, Penn State's not got a great record. Dana talks about, don't care about their record. They're a good football team. They're still a top 15 defense in the country, by the way. Their pass offense, 112th. Not good. Their rush offense, the most talented running back duo in the entire country. It's not 112th, but it's not like top 10, top 20, top 30, not even close to where it should be. But their defense, top 15. So we're going to learn more about that offense and TJ this week. And then we're going to learn even more versus Iowa, who, by the way, Iowa, Ohio State, and Nebraska have given up the least amount of passing touchdowns on the season. They're all tied for first in the country. So TJ's about to face a top 15 pass defense, a top 15 overall defense, and then he's going to face an even better defense, at least statistically, when he plays Iowa. And why I get excited about that is because I want to learn about this young man. I want to see what he can do. Let's be honest, there's going to come a point where some decisions are probably going to have to be made. A rabbit hole that I've teased, but I don't want to go down at this point, okay? Because it's going to be there at some point, probably, and I want as much information about our players when off-season decisions need to be made and talked about. I want as much information as possible. And then whoever we play in the bowl game, I mean, depending on how these last two games go, you know, I'm rooting for, like, an SEC team, a brand that we recognize, because that's what I want, the type of games I want to see Nebraska be competing in. Before the first drive of the game, TJ told Dana, and I quote, "I got you, I got us," end quote. And he said, basically, call the game the exact same as you normally would. Now, he did mention Penn State's a little bit different animal. It's not going to be Lincoln West like it was out in Pasadena. It's going to be senior day. It's going to be emotional. It's going to be a night game, national television, NBC. It's going to be a true road test for TJ Lateef and this entire team as well. All right, Dylan told Dana he was really looking forward to playing against a Penn State. Okay, obviously any competitor is truly going to want to, but obviously he supports TJ. Penn State is a high-pressure, aggressive defense. They are attacking. They are, I'm not going to say relentless. I'm not saying relentless as a jab. I'm not going to say relentless. I think if they beat Oregon, this entire season goes different. Like, James Franklin is not Virginia Tech's head coach. He is officially their head coach. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
At least it was supposed to be this morning announced.
Yeah, so he's still at Penn State, and they're in the playoff hunt, and I think you watch that Penn State film of their defense, instead of thinking they're really, really good, but Iowa might be better, I'm probably thinking they're relentless, and they're in the top three in the country. So they're good, but I don't want to overblow them at the same time, okay? So, but they are a high-pressure, aggressive defense. Dana is proud of how the guys are playing, and this is something Rule mentioned a week ago. This is the most impressive blocking group of wide receivers he has ever been a part of. I like that. I like that a lot, especially after the struggles in that department a year ago. It really goes to show when coaches emphasize something, if you don't emphasize it, it's probably not going to change. But when you go out of your way to emphasize something, I'll never forget. That's the only way it can be addressed. I'll never forget. I think it was Dana's first solo press conference last year. I could be wrong. It was like November last year. And he says, he's like naming receivers, like not but the numbers, because he doesn't know their names yet. Like, why aren't you blocking better? Like, but he says it in a Dana Holgorsen way. Do you remember that press conference?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Emmett keeps getting stronger and has proven he can have 30 touches or more a game. Again, he's 84 in the last three games. Think about that. All right. Loves that Emmett's getting recognition. Mosey and Mekhi Nelson are getting better every week. They are ready if needed. The next two games, ain't this the truth? The next two games will be low possession games, especially Iowa. If Iowa could shorten the game to 10 minutes, they'd be happy. Like, that's what they want to do. And I obviously, Penn State, they're a run-first, defensive-oriented team. You know how I know? Because they're 112th in the country in pass offense. And their freshman, backup quarterback, sound familiar, has four touchdown passes and four interceptions. He's got a bright future, but he's not exactly he's gaining experience at the moment. I'll put it that way. Oh, and this was sent to me, just an FYI. How much money, just take a guess. How much money do you think Nebraska spent on their 2026 recruiting class? And just so everyone knows, we have no idea. Just take a guess, because I know what USC spent. And then I'm just going to throw that out there. We'll go to break.
Is this the transfer portal class or just altogether?
Well, we don't know transfer portal yet. High school.
Oh, the 2026 high school
class. Sorry, did I not say that? Yeah, 2026.
I don't know.
We have no idea.
Yeah.
That's why I had you do it, not me.
Go with a million. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I think it's more than that. USC spent around $40 million in recruiting on this class. At least that's what we believe to be the case, just for a little bit of perspective there.
They got 35 guys. Nebraska's got 10. So I would say it's probably more than a million.
A lot of four and five-star guys, too.
Yeah.
So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Huge news, Wayfair shoppers. There's still time to shop Wayfair's Cyber Week sale. Thought the savings were over? Think again. Cyber Week, aka the holiday home stretch, is on now. Right now, get up to 70% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. Plus, you can sit back and relax. With Wayfair's fast and easy shipping, everything home comes straight to your home. Just in time for the holidays. Yep, even the big stuff. Didn't get everything on your Black Friday list? We got you. There's no place like home for the holidays and no place like Wayfair for Cyber Week savings. Shop Wayfair's Cyber Week right now through December 7th and save up to 70% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.